Welcome to Effortless Living. I'm your host, Susan Thompson, and we have Blake once again as our guest and wonderful, insightful individual to help bring all of this to life. Thank you for joining us. And today, our topic is about relationships, patterns, and resonance.
That's an interesting topic. Why are we talking about relationships, patterns, and that other word?
Resonance.
Resonance.
That's funny. The reason I chose Blake in the first place was because his voice is so resonant. Mm. First of all, I was thinking about how, just looking at ourselves, we have patterns. We all have patterns. And those patterns most often come from our childhood, our experiences, and even our history before we were born. And these patterns happen, and I think one of the purposes of life is really to overcome our patterns, to break our patterns,
okay,
to change our patterns, and of course to become aware of our patterns. And so when we start to engage in a relationship with someone, whether it's a work relationship or a friendship or an intimate relationship, I think it's helpful if we're aware of our own patterns and then we learn what the patterns of that person are or that situation, let's say, if it's a work environment. And then we need to assess whether we are a good fit with that pattern, and or how will that complement our own pattern, or on the opposite side of that, disrupt our own pattern. So I chose the word resonance because I don't know if, did you know I'm a musician?
Yes, we've discussed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I gravitate towards low brass instruments.
Okay.
And I play this low brass instrument. I played it for 38 years. And it's just this booming, beautiful, resonant instrument, like the cello, but in a brass. It's called a euphonium. A lot of people don't know what that
That's
is.
A word.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the euphonium. But so I haven't played my instrument for 7 or 8 years.
Too long.
Yeah. Well, I just ended up being in this situation the other day, unexpectedly, and where I walked in this room and it had a whole bunch of euphoniums in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tubas as well,
and tubas, of course,
because my husband's a tuba player. Oh my gosh.
Wall to wall.
All over, like on the floor, like, you know, a bunch of, you know, tubas and euphoniums. Anyway, I just felt so like I was in my element and I hadn't been there forever. And I decided to give it a try and pick up an instrument and start to try to play it.
Okay.
And mind you, you know, my chops and I haven't played in forever. And so it was a little bit of a scary thing, but it all came back like riding the bike and that beautiful resonance.
Yeah.
And I missed that. I missed that resonance. And so that word resonance and that sensation I get when I play really kind of brought me to the topic for today.
Okay. It's nice that you use the word resonance, and your story is very nice. I have a different situation. It's been about a month since we recorded the last episode, and this is my resonance. This is my, I just pick it back up, just like I'm on a bike.
Right.
Be with my friend Susan and do this and come back to my happy place.
Yeah.
Like, this is nice.
Yeah, and there's some quality there that you can't really define.
No.
And so I guess assigning the word resonance is what I mean.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's just like when you meet somebody and you just click instantly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that click is resonance.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can come right back in here after not being here for a month, and it just feels like it feels right.
Yes.
And I think we need more opportunities like that. And we need to bring more of that into our life. And today's time is really a time of great dissonance, which is the opposite
of resonance.
Resonance, exactly. And I think that we have so much dissonance going on in our day-to-day life and in our way of going about things that it's becoming a norm. Mm-hmm. Like we don't remember what it feels like to have resonance because we're living in dissonance and that friction so much all the time. Mm-hmm. That it's the new place of familiarity.
It's familiarity. That's exactly right.
Yes. And as I've said to my Tai Chi students, just because it's familiar doesn't mean that it's right.
Right.
And we tend to gravitate towards that which is familiar. Why? Because we're repeating our patterns.
And it feels safer.
It feels familiar.
Yeah.
And familiar is safe.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's the best thing for you or the best thing
exactly.
for your relationship or the pattern that you're currently in or to get that good resonance. But
right.
It definitely feels safe.
Yes. Now, it took me to the next level of thought was when you're a musician and you play music, you strive, you create. If you're really resonant and you play that note in the most pure way without any resistance in your body, in your airflow, and in this case, your embouchure, then the note opens up. And you create these things called overtones.
Okay.
And overtones are like resonance upon resonance upon resonance. And so maybe you're playing an F, but there are these overtones that occur that are other notes embedded in it. The normal person can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you join your note with somebody else mm-hmm. that is also in tune, okay,
and
to that note.
Playing that F.
And playing that F, let's okay. say, okay, and we join our two notes together. Now, if you're in the center of that note and your resonance is dialed in, and my resonance is dialed in, and we're both on that F, let's say, and we play together, then that note creates even more overtones. And it becomes more than it could possibly be with me as an individual playing it, or with you as an individual playing it. But when we both play it together, and we're both in our own part, is that we have our resonance.
Okay.
We join those two resonances together, and that's when we start getting all those overtones. It projects out further. It sounds huge, but it sounds like one. It's really magical. Now, conversely, if you are playing the F and you're slightly out of tune, so there is a certain hertz for F. Well, if we said A, it's 440. So let's play, you're playing an A and I'm playing an A. And mm-hmm. I'm at 440 and I'm right in the middle note and I'm resonating that note. Now, you are just a little sharp today, so you're at 441. I mean, it's just minuscule.
But it's going to throw everything off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what it does is your resonance is not in alignment with my resonance. And so then it creates a disturbance, a slight disturbance. And to someone who is trained, you will hear this pulsation, a little pulsation, and the two notes are out of tune with each other.
Okay.
And that pulsation is kind of la, 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 and it sounds like almost this weird vibration. And that's how you know you're out of tune, is you listen for that pulsation, then you bring it down, you get in tune, and the pulsation goes away. That disturbance
okay.
goes away, and then you're back into resonance. And so take that now, that concept, into making choices about relationships. Now, the relationship, again, can be a friend, could mm-hmm. be a person, it could be a work environment. And later we talk about it in terms of the environment by itself. All of these things, they either plug into your own resonance and your own patterns, or they're strident, really way off from your own patterns and your own resonance. Or they could just be slightly off and create this subtle little
like almost grating noise.
Yeah, it's like what we were talking about, that little bit of friction.
Yeah.
But you're not really aware of it unless you've become, that's one of the purposes of this podcast, is to become more aware.
Right.
So that you start to notice, because, I mean, it's pretty easy to to point out or to realize that, hey, I don't fit in this group, right?
Yeah.
You walk in, whatever. I mean, those blatant things are, no, this is not a person I want a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Those are things that are blatant, and congratulations if you're making those choices. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people don't even make the choices. But what I'm talking about is getting even more subtle now and really being aware of your own patterns first. So a pattern would be like your resonance. And then how is that pattern either being supported and you're creating overtones in that pattern? You're being able to express yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it creating that little bit of dissonance? Ever so subtle dissonance that you just sort of kind of feel like things aren't quite right, but you try to convince yourself that it's okay.
Right.
And then there's outright dissonance. So I'm playing an A, and you decide you're going to play an A flat.
Why not? A little bit of chaos.
That's right. And now that's painful, because now that is real angst. I mean, that is a really uncomfortable dissonance. And interestingly enough, contemporary music uses a lot of that very overt dissonance. Not all contemporary music, and I'm talking classical here, but contemporary music tends to use that and creates this friction, which would be okay as long as they resolve into some tonality that is
right.
Resonant, but oftentimes they don't. And it's really, you know, why? Why is that? Historically, that we've gone from Mozart and Beethoven, who are all about resonance, but back in their day, they were considered really out there.
Because I'm assuming, because that's the new frontier, because yeah. Everyone's kind of, at least in classical music maybe, locked yeah. down resonance.
Yeah.
And so no one really does the
chords.
Normal A and then A sharp or A flat together just to cause a noise.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think it's a symbol of our times.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a contemporary composer out there and you're listening to this, I apologize. It's just my ear has not acclimated to that yet. But it's also a good, I'm sure it's like art. We're supposed to show life. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to have some dissonances in life, because it's those very dissonances that cause us to grow.
Yeah.
The problem is when we get stuck in a dissonance, we're not aware of it, or we explain it away, and then we decide that that's, as you said, the new norm.
The new norm. Mm-hmm. Going back to what you said when we were first starting off, what kind of patterns are we talking about? Hmm. Are we talking about the fact that, you know, you're early to everything by 15, 20 minutes? Are we talking about your morning routine? What is the patterns we're talking about?
Well, leave it to you to ask me a hard question.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. But that's a really good question, right? Our listeners are probably thinking, well, yeah, what patterns? And that's the crux of it, is realizing our patterns.
Okay.
Because they're so normal to us that we think they're normal.
Right.
And so it's so hard to get outside of your own pattern and realize, well, this is a pattern. Not judging it, could be a good pattern, but it is a pattern.
Right.
Okay, so I'll give a big example, and then I'll give a little example.
Okay.
All right, so let's take a big example for start. Someone who grew up in a family where they were not really supported in that family. And so they didn't have a lot of protection. And maybe their sibling was bullying them or something like that on a regular basis. And they didn't get protection that they should have gotten from their parents.
Yeah, from their guardians. Right,
right.
Yeah.
The very people that should be protecting
them. Yes. Yeah, that's why they're called guardians in our society, right?
Like, yes.
Right.
Yeah, take note of that. That's a good one. Guardian, parent, one
yeah,
and the same.
Right.
So let's say now that person is an adult, and every work situation they go into, they're finding that they're being bullied or harassed. And they change jobs because it becomes uncomfortable, so they go to another job, and the same thing happens, and another job, and the same thing happens. Well, this is a pattern. And this pattern is so familiar to them because this is what they grew up with, that they're being, let's say, bullied by a coworker, but the supervisor is not really doing anything about it, or they're afraid to say something to their supervisor, even more apt, because they would go to their parents and their parents say, oh, just ignore it, it'll go away.
Sure.
Or the worst, they get reprimanded for even saying anything. And so they're repeating that pattern of their childhood into their adult life and not even aware that that's their pattern. And that not everybody has that pattern. And it, in some way, and I don't really like to use the word manifesting. And
That's kind of what I was feeling, though.
Yeah, I know.
The explanation was they were almost creating that environment for themselves.
Yes. I like that. I like that because manifesting is a word that is just getting way overused now. And
I manifested winning the lottery. It didn't happen. Sorry, guys, it didn't happen.
Well, you just need to increase your resonance in that area. yes, you create. So let's say that. That individual is really, as hard as it is to hear, they're creating that. They're somehow drawing that to them because their particular resonance draws in a person who is drawn to that resonance because maybe it's a weaker resonance.
Right.
And they can envelop them and control them. And so they are drawn to the people with the weaker resonance or who are whatever those signals are that person is unknowingly putting out just to repeat the pattern. And so at some point that individual might say, huh, I wonder why this keeps happening. And just become experimental. Just start to change something. I don't care what it is. Change your shirt. Change your shoes. As I told you, I started wearing shoes that were like 3-inch lifts when I went to the airport because I was always getting hit at the airport. And, people walked by and they hit me and I looked around and nobody else was getting hit. And so I started carrying myself differently, and it's before Tai Chi, and my thick shoes, and and I didn't get
it
to the airport.
It was before Tai Chi. Now she walks through an airport and everyone runs.
How do you know? Somehow they are bringing that pattern into their life because it's familiar.
Yeah.
And even though it's a dissonant pattern and it creates some friction in their life, this is their familiarity, and it's so hard to see what your own pattern is. The more simple one is, when I grew up, told you I was going to give you two examples.
I love it.
When I grew up, I always wanted a dog. My mother would not let me have a dog, and I don't know why. And then about when I was like 13 or 14 years old, one day a miracle happened and my mom brought home a dog. To this day, I'll never know what that trigger was.
Okay.
And the dog was a white dog. And so every time I've ever gotten a dog from here on out, it just seems like I get a white dog. And I'm not even conscious of it. That's the thing. Now I am, of course. But I'm not even conscious about it. And it's like I always have a white dog in my life. So I'm repeating this pattern because that moment that moment really resonated in my heart and in my life.
Yeah.
And was a very joyful time for me. And so that white dog somehow encapsulates that. And so when I go to get a new dog I end up getting a white dog. Now, to be fair, Monty, when I first got him, was not white. Mm. He was like fully apricot. And guess what? As fate would have it, he's turned white.
Yes.
He's cream, but isn't that funny?
Yes.
It's almost like the universe said, okay, yeah, she likes white dogs.
She gets a white dog. We're going to give her
Monty
a pass.
White. We'll make Monty white.
That's funny.
So those are some examples of patterns, both on a grander scale and then on a small scale. I also think we tend to pick our spouses according to certain patterns that were in our family. And we either choose a spouse that's very much like our mother or our father, depending on, you know,
relationship.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or we go the opposite direction,
yep,
completely 180 degrees. But it is part of the pattern.
Right.
It's created from the pattern. Let's put it that way.
I feel like a good relationship is like Lego blocks sticking together.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't use Lego blocks and then go to somewhere else and get Lincoln logs and try to attach those together. It's not going to work.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's Lego blocks or Lincoln logs.
Right.
Your patterns say your Lego blocks, which means the person that you're going to resonate with the most is another Lego block.
Ah. Yeah. But I wonder if that's because we're so stuck in our Lego block pattern.
Pattern, right. Right. So if you were able to break your patterns,
yes,
or adjust your patterns.
Adjust. I like, yeah, the word adjust. That was very, yeah, well said. Yeah. And that's a great analogy, too. I think we do. We keep just building with the Lego blocks. And there's a whole nother realm out there that we're not really, that's available to us once we get out of our Lego block mode. Once we start to be aware of, oh, I'm building with Lego blocks, but there's Lincoln logs and there's,
yeah,
Erector
sets?
Erector,
I don't know.
Sets.
I don't know any of that.
Oh, you know, all these different ways to construct life.
Yeah.
And we don't need to construct them necessarily from the same tools that we grew up with or that we're even just aware of.
So why do you think some people adjust their patterns?
I don't think many do.
You don't think they do?
No, I think that's one of the hugest, is that a word? Hugest?
I don't know.
Hmm. Gargantuous.
That's a word.
Yeah.
Enormous.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Thank you for tuning into the dictionary channel. Is that a word?
Is that a word? Is it appropriate for this circumstance? Anyhow, I just think that it's one of our biggest, how about that? That's a good word.
All right.
Tasks in life is to overcome those patterns. And I think we are given messages to that effect. Religions and philosophies and things, there are things that cross over, and those things that cross to me are truths. For example, the Bible, the Old Testament, if you just really back up view of the Old Testament, it's just these guys making the same mistakes over and over and over,
sure,
again. Over and over again.
Sure.
You know, and then we do plagues and we do all that to try to get them to change, and they change and then go back to their normal again. And so it's just pattern after repeating pattern, repeating pattern, repeating pattern, repeating pattern. And I think it's when I realized that, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe one of life's tasks is for us to break out of our own patterns and to come into a new awareness that's different, that transcends our own patterns.
It's like not making the same mistake twice.
Or a third time, or a fourth time, or a fifth time,
yeah,
or a sixth time, which I think we tend to do. I mean, we all do. I'm not saying I'm above all of this. These are just the thoughts that I hold in my heart and want to share. We all, as humans, have patterns, and we all tend to repeat them.
Yeah. Agreed.
And we tend to, whether you want to use the word manifest them, or we tend to create them in our own lives. And the first step is to start to become aware of it and say, oh my gosh, this keeps happening. And so, how can I change this? And I think one way of changing it is to start to assess, to apply a word to it. That's why I chose resonance. You can use a different word if you want. You could say fit. Is this a good fit? I like resonance because when it's a good fit, it's two pieces that fit together. But resonance is two pieces that come together and create more.
Yeah. Yeah. You're better by the sum of your whole than you are individually.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the overtones, that if you're a musician and you know what I'm talking about, it's so magical. It's so powerful. And when these two notes come together and they create this resonance that creates more notes, more on the spectrum,
yeah,
of sound, and it becomes so much bigger. And if we apply that, if we start to just be aware and use this concept of resonance when we walk in a room even. Now, I mean, because of my Tai Chi training, when I walk in a room, I immediately feel it. Now I know, now I can have a word for it. Because if I say, oh, the energy, people kind of look at me like really weird.
You may not have the energy word for it, but you know something's off.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You walk into any a party and
yeah.
and there's just a vibe going on that you're not really gelling with, right?
Yeah.
But because you say energy.
Right.
Susan.
I know. But vibe, isn't that, that's cool you use the word vibe because vibe is vibration and resonance is all about vibration.
Perfect.
So either your vibration is meeting and complementing my vibration or it's off. A little bit. Your vibration is a little different. You're tuned into a different radio station
yes.
than I am, and those vibrations will clash. Oh, I love that you used that word. They will clash, and they will create what's entropy. Entropy is a falling apart, a chaos, and we don't need that in our lives. Mm-hmm. And how we really need to change our awareness of what that vibe is that we're inviting into our life. That we're allowing into our life.
Yeah.
And assess that. And I'm not saying, and the other thing is you don't need to change your vibe.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you should need to stay true to your vibe, your resonance. And I mean, not to say we don't need to change our patterns, right? But know yourself well enough that when you feel something that's not the right vibe, that you don't allow that into your life.
Yep.
That you are strong enough to say, no, that's not on my vibration frequency, so I'm going to leave that one out.
Right, and that's not an easy task to do. I mean, we all struggle with, you know, being pulled down by the negativity of the room or the bad situation or being in a bad work situation. But sometimes you just got to kick your own resonance or vibe up into a higher gear, yeah. turn up the volume,
yeah.
and let your positivity overpower everyone else.
Yeah, so that you bring up a good point. Can we expand our own resonance to overcome a different resonance in the situation?
I think so. For example, if me and you are both positive and Tai Chi Tom is just down in the dumps and he doesn't want to come out of the dumps, that's on him. That's on Tai Chi Tom.
Yeah.
But if Tai Chi Tom is just having a bad 5 minutes and not a bad day,
uh-huh.
and me and you are having a great day, he's yeah. going to come out of his 5 minute funk and he's going to join us.
Hmm. So what you're saying is the temporary off resonance, you feel like you can overcome and bring them up.
I believe so.
Yeah. That's a really nice positive thought.
I believe so.
My experience has been, I need other people to be on my frequency, and that group of people outnumber.
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think 1-1. 1-1 is just, you know, like this.
We call that bumping, actually.
Yeah, dissonance or yeah. bumping.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
right.
I think 1-1, there's no overcoming it.
Yeah,
I think if you can. If there's a crack in your armor
yeah.
and me and you can both be positive, then we can, I don't know, I could be wrong.
No, I love this conversation because I'm giving this real thought. Because of course, like in music, if I'm playing an A natural and you're playing an A flat, I can play my A natural as loud as I want, but it can't overcome your A flat because that close dissonance, that close, in fact, I wonder if that's another aspect of this, is that when the resonance is just slightly off, it's much harder to reconcile.
No, I'm sure.
Than when, for instance, if it's a third off, you can actually join those two notes together and you make a chord.
Yeah, I don't have a musical ear, but you yeah. said 440 and 439 or 441.
Just even two, they're called cents. Yeah, 2 cents off.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would assume most people wouldn't be able to hear that.
They wouldn't.
And but you're right, if you were 440 and 240. Oh yeah, dude, I am way off. I can fix yeah. this. Oh, I can get closer. But
right.
I think that like that hair difference would be difficult.
Yeah, and that's where that awareness is such an important piece, because you just aren't really necessarily aware that there is that friction or that dissonance going on. Now, an A to an A flat, and we're talking maybe patterns here at this point in a relationship, that's going to create a lot of friction, and that's going to be pretty obvious. And if I'm playing an A and he's playing an A flat, it crunches and it's uncomfortable. That's more obvious. But how many of us are still staying in that because that friction is becoming familiar to us?
Yeah.
And I think being preemptive about this, in other words, when you enter into a new situation or you're entering into a new relationship, that having the awareness of your own self and your own patterns, both good and bad, when you enter into that relationship, you can better sense whether this is going to be a relationship that plugs into and augments your resonance or is going to actually create more dissonance. And that's the place where you have to make a decision. And I haven't always been good at this.
Sure.
And that's where just, you know, having that awareness and knowing, wait a minute, this doesn't jive with me or jibe with me. Vibe. Then making that decision of just taking a step back from that relationship. You don't even have to end it. Just step back a little bit and say, I'm just going to see what happens for a little while. Let's give space, right? Because space gives us those options. And space also is a place where we can generate resonance. You can't have resonance without space.
Mm.
That's profound.
Yeah.
I mean, a guitar has the box. Mm-hmm. That's what creates the resonance. The instrument has the big bell. That's what projects the resonance. All of it's happening right here.
The vocal cords gigantic lungs in your chest.
Yes, and the big chest, big barreled chest. Just being more aware. When you enter into a new work environment, like just kind of figuring out, the more you do this, the more practiced you get at it, which individuals in that work environment are on your frequency. Now, I'm not saying that you don't make relationships with people who are on a different frequency. I think it's important that we do that because it challenges us, and that bit of potential dissonance can create growth.
Mm-hmm.
But that can't be the sum total. You want something that is going to enhance you, not tear you down. One of the most clarifying moments for me that I think it fits into this a bit, and a good illustration of resonance versus dissonance, or finding a good fit, which I call resonance, versus having something that is creating entropy in your life, which entropy is that creating more chaos, disintegrating who you are, and it's just exhausting when you're in that place. So I was sitting at an intersection in our town, and lots of construction, as always, going on, big, huge intersection. And the light was going on forever, the red light. And I was looking around at all the construction going on, and I looked up, and of all things, now, for those of you that don't know, we are nowhere near the ocean. I looked up and I saw a seagull.
That is the craziest thing. I knew you were going to say it, and I'm like, where did it come from?
At this busy intersection, at the light, with all the construction and the orange cones and everything, and I thought, what in the heck is this seagull doing here? And then I watched him, and he's such an elegant flyer and so skilled, and he was doing everything that is ingrained in him, his patterns that are for survival, that he's been designed to do. He was diving down and floating back up and diving back down and turning tight turns and coming back down, just like he would be doing over the water to fish and to get his food. And yet he was 100% unsuccessful.
Yeah. Asphalt does not yield fish like water does.
No. And so here is the seagull. This was really profound for me. There's the seagull who had all of these magnificent skills, and you could even call them talents. His flying was spectacular. And yet, because he was in the wrong environment for who he was coming up completely empty-handed.
Yeah.
And if a seagull could be frustrated, it would be frustrated. And if a seagull could be self-incriminating, he would have been saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not being successful. What is wrong with me? I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, but I'm hungry and I'm dying, quite frankly. And I thought, wow, how many people are living their lives like that?
A lot.
And in the process, if that's not bad enough, in the process, they're looking at themselves, like, what's wrong with me? I'm doing what I've done, what I've been trained to do, what my talents are, what my skills are, and yet I'm still hungry. And hungry could be a metaphor for that yearning in our lives. And it's and incriminating yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, obviously I'm not doing the right things. And then trying to change yourself or change what, how you're going about things. And rarely, I think, do people actually look at their environment and say,
right.
Oh, do I resonate with this environment?
Yeah.
Is this a good environment for me? Because if you took that seagull and you put him back in over the ocean, over the, and
fine.
He was doing all those things, not only would it be beautiful, but he would be like, I am living my life in mm-hmm. the fullest. I'm successful. I'm fed. I'm nurturing myself. I'm being successful. And all of that that was happening to him was because he was in the wrong environment for his particular skill set, his particular resonance and patterns. And that's where I think a lot of us reside, and we're blaming ourselves instead of looking at, well, maybe we're in the wrong environment for who we are.
You know, it's interesting because what you're saying, a lot of people always say, well, I'm just going to stay here because I'm afraid of change.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how if you asked 100 people, above 90 would say, I'm afraid of change.
Yes.
I don't think they know what change is. Because change isn't scary. Change is natural. Change is every day. I watered my tomatoes today.
Yeah.
In hopes that they will change and get bigger.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I think they're afraid more of the pattern and making not necessarily themselves change, but that first step fear.
Oh.
I don't think change is scary. I think the first step is the scariest thing in the world.
And the unknown?
Yeah.
I think that the unknown is what's so scary. If you could change and know ahead of time, well, if I change, now I'm going to be playing with, I can't remember those things.
Lincoln Logs.
Thank you.
Yep.
Like if I change, it's predictable. I'm going to be playing with Lincoln Logs. Then it would be less scary. But it's that gap of the unknown.
Yeah.
I think that makes it so hard and to take that first step. And you make a really good point about change because the yin-yang symbol in mm-hmm. Tai Chi is really, people look at it and they think that's static. You know, they see the white and then the black with the two little counter
dots. Yeah.
And they just see it. But it's really a sphere and it's rolling and changing and moving.
Right.
And if you see that, then you see the white and the black. And when they change, they're changing in the same ratio in perfect balance. And you know, you brought up your tomatoes.
Right.
And in everything, in this very moment, as we look out there
it's
in
changing.
Nature, every single thing is changing. Different rates and in different ways. But life is change, yeah?
I mean, I know a lot of people find that scary. We're changing right now.
Mm, yeah.
We're getting older. I have gray hairs. It's terrible.
I don't believe it. No,
it's terrible. but we're changing. Every moment. So it's that first step.
And I think even just listen, like right now, listening to your perspective and you're listening to mine, and I'm already changing from our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully listeners, when they're listening to our mm-hmm. podcast, to this podcast, that it just at least ignites a crevice to say, oh, maybe I can be at a different intersection and be at the ocean instead.
Right.
You know, or that there are options out there. Or making those choices before you even get into the relationship of deciding whether this is going to be a resonance or a dissonance.
Right.
That's one of the really, I learned this recently, one of the most, the coolest thing is in Tai Chi when the other person touches you. So that would be a relationship, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So if we touch, let's turn a little bit and you just make your fist and kind of lightly punch. Okay. So right there, what I did was I just met his resistance in the very second that he did it. So that is, you can relax. That is going into the room or going into a relationship and just meeting it where it is. And there you have it. And in that, let's do it again. Okay. We both felt impact,
mm-hmm.
didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no assessment there. It's reactive. So somebody comes into my life and I feel like I'm going to let them be a friend to me. And maybe that's not the best way to do that.
Right.
So the other way to do it is go ahead and do it again. And did you feel a difference?
Yeah.
And you heard a difference mm-hmm. too, didn't you? So what did you feel? What was the difference?
Instead of the stopping, it was more I got caught.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all I was doing was just being a little bit ahead of him. For those of you that are just watching, I'm just having Blake lightly punch at me. So the first time when he punched at me, I'm just reacting and meeting his punch. So do that again.
Right.
And you can hear that smack. Okay. And so I think that's the way most of us, and for me, prior to Tai Chi, we just navigate through life like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we find dissonance, do it again. If we find dissonance, then we fight it. We start pushing against it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that dissonance is creating a lot of work for me. And it would be,
yes.
if we were equal, it would probably be causing some work for you as well.
Yes.
But in this, it's not comfortable. There's friction. It's a lot of work. And it's definitely not making me more resonant. I'm too busy fighting.
And for those of you that aren't watching, what's happening right now is Susan is holding my fist in place. So,
yeah.
So for those of you that are watching.
Yeah. So it's really,
what else is going on around us? We have no idea because we're so focused on this.
Absolutely. You exactly. know? Oh, that's a great
analogy. We have
analogy.
No idea. And we're supposed to be aware
yeah.
of everything going on around us. But we're so focused on that your hand holding back my fist.
Yeah.
That anything could be going on around us and we wouldn't know.
That's exactly right. We
yeah.
become focused instead of aware.
Yep.
And so, you know, for all of you that are struggling with a relationship, whether it's at work or whatever, and you're feeling a lot of dissonance, the tendency is to resist it and push against it. And then you're so focused on that you're not aware of other opportunities or other ways.
Yep.
So the other part, the other way to do it is as he punches at me, I'm just 1 millisecond ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could hear that, there was no impact, okay? And then I'm going to just soften and join with his frame or his self. I take care of myself, and then I just join with his frame. And so it's soft here, and we're either balanced and or not.
Yeah.
And it's more comfortable, isn't it?
It is.
So that would be a resonant relationship, one that we can work together with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you want to, you can get out of that. You can move it and you can change the direction of that.
Yeah. It's weird because a lot of the things that we discuss, I bring to not Tai Chi, but I guess that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of leaders always will say, like, you have to put the right person in the right place.
That's right.
But a lot of leaders, because there are very few good leaders, put the right person for them in the spot and not necessarily the right person for the task, mission, objective, whatever you want to say, in the right place. And if you feel like you're not the right in the right place, that's your environment, your resonance is off. You know, find a different environment. Take that first step. Change your pattern. And your resonance, hopefully, will be better.
And that, you made another good point. It's not always about leaving that environment. It's about assessing your own pattern and maybe changing it. So the other option here is if I'm playing the A and he's playing the A flat, well,
I'll go A flat.
I could play A flat. And then we can see if we're resonant. Now, I'm not saying to compromise who you are necessarily, but this would be the metaphor for changing your thought pattern. If our thought patterns generate our patterns, then by changing our thought pattern, can we change our pattern for the better? And so maybe it's just a matter of reframing, as we've talked about in the past, the situation, or changing one small thing in the way you operate within that environment to change the resonance and the fit. Now, sometimes that's not going to work, and you do need to change environments, like the seagull needs to go back to the ocean. But because he could change, maybe face the south this time, or he could change one thing, and it's not going to make that much of a difference. But there are circumstances, and even ones that seem daunting, that by changing your thought pattern about it, or recently I was listening about changing your story about it, it just shifts things just a little bit, where now you're more in tune, and that environment now, or that relationship now, can create more overtones than it did in the past. So it doesn't always have to be this huge sweeping change. It can be a small thing that is with you. So you take care of yourself first. You take care of your own. Because if you're punching at me and I'm so focused on you, then I'm not taking care of me, and I'm just working really hard. But when I met you, when I was there just a millisecond ahead, what I was doing was taking care of my own posture and my own space and just receiving you. And by doing that, then it's a softer thing, and I had more options there because I wasn't fighting it. And I could make a little miniature change, a little teeny tiny change in maybe the way our, where I'm pressing, and redirect that relationship.
That seagull could have really thought that asphalt was water and dove headfirst into it. It wouldn't have been pretty, but it, it could have tried. I mean,
I'm sure, I'm hoping the seagull just moved on and found at least a lake.
I was going to say, he could have flown, what, a mile, two miles down the road, and he'd have been in a giant lake. So, I mean,
See, it wasn't a big change.
It's not a huge change, especially for a bird. That's, what, 20 minutes?
Shoot, no red lights.
No red lights up in the air.
And the only thing he needed was awareness. He just had to be aware of, wait a minute, this isn't working, number one. Number two, this is not about me or my skills or what I'm not doing right. And then number three, I need to make a change. Those three things right there, boom, boom, boom. And I think that's important in your journey with this concept and that awareness, is that we're making these choices based on our own resonance, our own need to create overtones in our lives that make us more. And it's okay to say this person isn't a good fit for that, but they may go over and have resonance with someone else. And that's, in fact, you're almost doing a better service by not putting time into that relationship, because that frees them up also to create a better relationship or resonance with someone else.
At least the way I plant seeds, I plant two seeds in one cup. And then whichever one of those seeds is stronger and grows faster and grows bigger is the seed that goes in the ground. The other one has to get cold. because something is not going right with that seed.
Wow, that's a beautiful analogy.
You know, it's not. I remember last season was the first year I took gardening seriously. Man, I would take that little pot, I'd turn it upside down, I'd separate their roots by hand, I'd hand plant the big one and hand plant the little one, because I didn't want to lose anything. But the little one never really thrived. It never really bore fruit. One out of 10, I think, bore one fruit. And by the time the fruit came, the tomato actually came out, the inside was rotten.
Oh my gosh, this is such a great metaphor.
Yeah, so I just, it's got to be pulled out. You've got to go with what is looking best, whatever is strongest.
Okay,
whatever resonates the most.
Resonates the most. Okay, that was a beautiful metaphor. So let me ask and understand. You plant the two seeds. Mm-hmm. One starts to grow more and is stronger. And I thought I understood you to say, now you just let that one take over and you don't have to do anything with this.
You gotta cull the little one.
You do.
You do, because if you don't cull him, he's going to disease the big one and then you lose both.
We should have started with this.
I'm sorry.
In fact, I may put this at the beginning.
Okay.
This is incredible. That is a perfect metaphor for this.
Awesome.
Because really, we only have so much space and time and energy. And so why not?
Yeah, these plants are only going to live for 7 months, so I got to give them the best 7 months they can have.
Okay, and why not put that energy on the one that's resonating with you? We're talking in a relationship. And so many times, what do? We try to rescue the one that's not working.
Right.
And we put all our effort into that, and all our angst, and all our emotions, and our heart, and everything. We work on that relationship. Well, you got this other one that's, hey, that's pretty good. But this one is what we put all our efforts into. And 9 times out of 10, what I heard you saying is it comes out rotten anyway.
Yep.
Holy cow. Yeah, that is a perfect metaphor.
Me and my wife didn't let anything die our first season. We made sure every plant, we would separate them all.
Yes.
We'd make them all in their own little pot. We would fertilize them properly. We'd water them properly. But all the ones that were stunted from the get-go, from the beginning of the relationship, from its sapling stage, all ended up being terrible.
That is so perfect. That's what I've been trying to say this entire podcast, is that we tend to put our energy into that which is not thriving.
Right.
And worse, look at ourselves and say, what's wrong with us, like the seagull? But we try to resuscitate that and try to make that work, when really by assessing from the get-go which one is resonating, which one is thriving, which one is ultimately making you thrive.
Right.
And that is how we start to make changes in our relationships with work, with people and friends, from the get-go, instead of shifting to the one part that's not working and trying to make that work.
Yeah.
Because that is not, for whatever reason, that is not resonating. It's got some dissonance there, and it just creates more deterioration and comes out more rotten. And so you've just spent more time with it, more effort.
And it's a large investment.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time, energy, love being poured into this one little thing that may get this big.
Yeah.
But then go away.
Right. Well, meanwhile, you have, you know, something that's there that's thriving and...
Mm-hmm. That I could pour my energy into and make it
even
a
more.
6 foot tall bush that just produces and feeds my family. But instead, I'm focusing on the tiny thing next to it.
Yes, yes. Which is the one actually creating the dissonance.
Yep.
And so maybe it's our human nature to gravitate towards that which is creating the dissonance, instead of assessing and saying, oh, this is resonating, this is thriving, and this is building me as a person. Using your metaphor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I went through the first season of gardening, and now getting into our second season, we are much better about it.
Okay, so it goes back to what you said about practice.
Right. We planted probably 60 tomato plants.
Uh-huh.
Only 32 went in the ground.
Really?
So we culled almost half of our entire tomato thing.
This is such a great analogy. This is great. So you're being proactive. You're assessing, and it's okay to do that and then to call out that which is not a good fit for you. And you can only do that once you start having good assessment skills.
Right.
Now you go in there and you just make that assessment. You got 60 plants and you know which ones to get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, like, I still don't want to get rid of it.
No.
But it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's, I can't waste the time.
Right.
You know, I want to have a much bigger harvest. I want to have more meaningful relationships with my friends. I want to spend more time with my family, you know, so I can't focus on all the little things, the minutia outside of it.
Yeah. And I like that, the bigger harvest.
Yeah.
What are we harvesting? And what are we paying attention to? What are we putting our efforts into? And what would that harvest? Some meager plants or a much more enriched life?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's such a great analogy. Wow. So a relationship is either resonating and builds you, or it's dissonance. It's dissonant and it disrupts and creates entropy.
And it's chaotic and it pulls you down.
It pulls you down.
Yep.
And that, when I say relationship, you could also say environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can just replace it with environment. Or an environment is either resonating and builds you, or it's dissonance. It's dissonant and creates entropy.
Yep.
And so the task that I put forth to you all is, where are you putting your energies? Are you harvesting the good tomato plant? Or are you putting your energy in and trying to rescue that tomato plant, which is not going to thrive and 9 times out of 10 is just going to come out rotten?
Yeah.
And are you aware? Are you aware of your own patterns? And is that set of your own patterns fitting in with the patterns of that environment or that relationship? You have anything else to summarize?
Yeah. Life is what you make it.
Yeah,
that's more accurate. I mean, you have so much more control over what your life's going to be. And I know there's a lot of things that you can't control, but you can control your own pattern. You can control who you decide to spend your time with. If you decide that you want to spend your time with someone that's going to play G while you're playing A, that's on you.
Enjoy the dissonance.
Yeah, enjoy the dissonance.
Okay, well, I think that's a pretty good one for today. Just give yourself some space to think about this and maybe start to recognize where you are pouring your energy and what feels resonant to you and that you have a good vibe for. And which plant are you harvesting? Which one are you putting the most energy into?
Yep.
So thanks for joining us today in Effortless Living, and we can't wait to see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.